Knowledge Fire. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a fiction caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan!
Jordan!
Quick question for you.
Talk to me.
What's your bright spot this week?
Well, interestingly, so I decided to start playing the Origami King.
The new
Paper Mario game.
Oh, okay. All right.
I am famously on the streets, I'm known as a fan of Paper Mario.
You are. I've heard it.
I love the Thousand Year Door. I thought
sure.
That was a great game.
Sure.
I enjoyed even Super Paper Mario. Mm. I believe that was the next one. Color Splash was a disaster. That game sucked.
All right.
It was so bad.
Okay.
It made me mad. It was so bad. I was so infuriated by it.
That's unfortunate.
And I didn't even know there was a new Paper Mario coming out. And I was like, I got to give it a shot. I got to give it a try. So
yeah.
I started playing it. I don't want to spoil anything because it's a fairly new game and some people might want to play it.
Mario's dead.
It's not that, but it got pretty fucking dark in the middle. There is a part where I'm just like, I don't know. I just wanted to play a cartoony game. I don't know about this. This is bumming me out. And so I had to stop playing it. Yeah. I put it down.
Uh-huh.
And so I picked back up Hyrule Warriors,
All right. The
Zelda game.
Uncomplicated.
The
yes.
Zelda game that is basically just Dynasty Warriors, but
yes.
Zelda characters.
Yeah.
So good. I forgot how much I love that game. That game is great. I love just running around and going through armies. And
yeah.
That's,
yeah.
So my bright spot is rediscovering Hyrule Warriors.
It is fun. Like, in the larger sense, I think Hyrule Warriors is far darker because you're just mass murdering people left and right.
Well,
you know?
They're not people a lot of the
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
I guess they're sentient beings, so that's not good.
It's
but.
Like Star Wars getting around killing people by killing droids, but then you find out droids actually have a certain kind of soul to them.
It's
weird.
To me, it's not so much about the like sort of mass amount of darkness,
sure,
as it is the context of it.
Right.
Like the context of the darkness in the Mario game, Paper Mario. Without spoilers, inappropriate.
Oh, no.
It was inappropriate. I'll tell you off air what happened.
Okay. Like,
it is not, it doesn't feel organic.
No.
Just upsetting.
This is a Cersei Lannister situation? What's going on here?
It's upsetting, whatever it is.
Okay.
Whereas in the Hyrule Warriors, it's like, it's a battle. It makes sense that you're fighting and it's not killing, it's KOs.
Yes.
You're just knocking
yes,
people out.
That's true.
So
yes.
It's totally
all
fine.
Right.
It's not that dark. At all. All
right, okay.
And sometimes they're dinosaurs.
That's fair.
Or weird ghosts sometimes even.
Why not?
Yeah, it doesn't feel as dark. Anyway, what about you?
Well, I mean, obviously my bright spot is that the Cubs won their opener of the Major League Baseball season.
Go Cubs, go!
Looking all right.
Hey,
Kyle Hendricks threw
what do you say?
Nine
Cubs are gone.
Innings, complete game shutout.
Go Cubs, go.
Great start. Rizzo and Schwarber both look like they're on. It's good. Bryant should not be in the leadoff spot, but we'll go from there.
What's wrong with Bryant?
It's not Bryant. It's the leadoff spot.
Oh, okay.
The Cubs leadoff spot has been cursed ever since Dexter Fowler left after the 2016 World Series, and that is because the Ricketts should have re-signed him, but they fucking didn't. You keep together the World Series winning team, Dan. But anyways, I will
so
stick away
with
that.
That's cursed the leadoff spot, you
exactly.
say.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, they've had like nine leadoff hitters in the past 4 years.
What a weird superstitions in Cubs fans.
Nope.
Real
none.
You know who
uh-uh.
You know who rarely has superstitions?
Who?
People who win a lot. People are too busy winning.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
I don't know if that's actually true, but I'm very happy for you
with the
Cubs.
We'll see. It's gonna be a good weird, terrible year.
Yeah. That sums it up.
Yeah.
So, Jordan, today we got an interesting episode to go over. We're going to be talking about a special report that Alex released on Saturday. That is July 25th, 2020. I'm Dan. This is 2020.
God damn it.
I mean, Alex has been out of studio all week.
Does he give a complete breakdown of why he's been out of studio?
He does explain his absence. Mm-hmm. And
there's somebody watching a French movie in the background.
Yes, actually. No, there's a baby running around. You can hear some weird noises in some of this. But last week we did, get the news that he had lost his appeal in the Connecticut Supreme Court and he was going to have to pay these sanctions and turn over documents to the folks in the Sandy Hook lawsuit who are suing him. And, obviously the presumption is, well, maybe he had to go to Connecticut, the Connecticut Supreme Court's not coming to Austin, so maybe he has to go appear.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be the case.
Oh, no.
That might be what you assume.
Right.
May not be the case.
Okay.
And we'll get down to business on all that here in a moment. But before we do, Jordan, we're going to take a moment to say thank you. Some folks have signed up and are supporting the show.
That'd be great.
So first, John, J-O-N, and then two last initials, P-R. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, John Public Relations.
Thank you so much. Next, Christian C. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Christian.
Thank you. Next, Ollie, O-L-I, last initial C. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Ollie.
Thank you. Next, Green Death Ray. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Green Death Ray.
Thank you. Next, Hellboy the Bellboy. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Hellboy the Bellboy.
Thank you so much. Next, Jacob T. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Jacob.
Thank you. Next, Adam J. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you. And then finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple people who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So, Jeroen, that's J-E-R-O-E-N, Van B. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. Senta, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Jessica W, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right?
Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large.
I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Jeroen. Thank you so much, Santa. And thank you so much, Jessica.
Yes, thank you very much to all of you.
If you're out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I enjoyed the show, I'd like to support what these gents do, you can do that by going to knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show, or you can take that generosity and...
What are we doing? Putting it in a box? How do you feel about putting it in a box?
Sure, put it in a box. Okay. What else are you going to do with it?
All right, put it in a box, kind of tape it up.
The second box.
All right.
A box inside a box?
A box inside of a box. Put that box inside of a piano case.
A Russian/Chinese nesting doll.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then send it to a charity in your area that helps people in need.
They would appreciate it.
Yep. Like I said, Jordan, we got this here. Oh, shit. I forgot. I got to go dig in the mailbag.
Okay. Oh, there's the mailbag.
Zip.
All right. Here we go. Open it up.
Zip. Yes, two zippers
you're enjoying
today.
It.
Bag inside a bag.
Bag inside a bag, yes.
So first...
Take that, Christopher Nolan.
Aaron sent some Polar Seltzers.
Ooh.
The very exciting package that came... Polar is this company. Mm. I forgot. This is going to get deeply into the year of the... So, Aaron sent these Polar Seltzers, and Polar does summer varietals.
Okay.
And so there's like a raspberry rosé. It's like a rosé flavored.
Okay.
And strawberry margarita.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. Blackberry mango punch. Mm. Interesting.
That's complex.
Yeah. And so I've tried a couple of them, and I got to say this: I am starting to come around to this position, and that is, I think Polar might be. I don't know. I think you're more the sports guy, so you could probably get a better way to encapsulate this.
Mm-hmm. Good or bad?
Good.
Good.
Most reliable.
Most reliable.
Yeah, I think is the on base percentage.
Right. Okay.
Kings of these seltzers.
Right. Right. Right.
I don't think I've had any Polars that have been bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're pretty consistent and pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they have a lot of different flavors. Like they fuck around quite a bit. There's like a blueberry lemonade seltzer. Mm-hmm. There's these booze ones, the raspberry rosé and stuff.
Sure.
Like they're creative and I think that they're pretty consistent.
Oh, that's great.
Now, when we started this year of the seltzer back in April, I got a lot of really angry messages from people from the Northeast who are really into Polar, and I wasn't drinking enough Polar.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, Why don't you drink some Polar?
Hey, asshole.
Exactly.
Why aren't you drinking some Polar?
A lot of Bostonians at me for
Tom Brady and such.
Yeah, come to Cambridge. We'll kick your ass.
Yeah. I don't even know what accent we're doing.
No, I don't know either. I lived in Boston, and I do not know. I was too young. Anyway, I'd like to apologize to those people for not recognizing the Polar as a fantastic seltzer company. Yep. And second, I'd like to withdraw that apology because it was still rude. Those messages. But also thank you, Aaron, for sending these, because these summer ones are really difficult to find here in Chicago. Yeah. And so I appreciate that. Also, I got another package, and it's some Reishi botanical seltzers that I have not had a chance to try yet, but they look like they all could be in the running for like 90s.
Top yes. levels.
They look amazing.
All right.
They look so good. And I know that Reishi is a really good tea company. Mm-hmm, and so I don't think that they're going to be putting out shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared to try these. Mm-hmm. They look so good.
All right. All right. So Polar's like the Tampa Bay Rays. They're going to put together a competitive team really good.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at the fucking Yankees now. We're looking at heavy hitters. Every lineup.
It's possible.
Nonstop.
I don't know. I could be disappointed.
Can't stop. The Dodgers, we're talking.
Yes. The problem that I have, though, is that these came without a card or anything. So I don't know who sent them. Hmm. So if you're listening and you sent that Reishi.
Who sent you?
Thank you so much. And then second, please shoot me a message so I can give you a proper thank you. Anyway, this has been a little bit of seltzer update.
Wonderful.
So last week on the show, Alex would call in a little bit and give a little bit of a reprieve from David Knight and Owen Schroyer. Mm. And two of these reports ended up being put out on band.video. So I'm not going to dig through the episodes where Owen and David Knight are hosting to try and find Alex's contributions.
Silly.
But the things that end up getting posted here on band.video, much easier to just take and go over. And so from the 24th, which was Friday, we have a couple of little snippets here of Alex. See where his head's at on Friday while he's out of studio doing whatever he's doing.
Sure.
The first thing we're going to talk about here is Alex is having a tough time because Trump, his king, his hero, guy who's fighting the globalists, has come out and worn a mask. And it said, I'm all for people wearing masks.
That is a bit of a pickle for him.
It's tough because Alex has been saying that the masks are the sign of submission to the globalists and all this.
Which would suggest that Trump has submitted to the globalists.
It's a difficult position that Alex finds himself in. And so this first report that was put out is him sort of trying to rationalize that a little bit.
Is President Trump playing 3D chess? Or is he being blackmailed somehow by the deep state? Because make no mistake, Bill Gates
only
and the globalists are the world government, UN deep state. They are the individual setting up a corporate planetary government to carry out eugenics. That is on record. What has happened to President Trump? Has he been captured? Has he been compromised?
So you can hear people in the background there. This is weird. It's weird audio.
Is he at Disney World?
It sounds like he's somewhere where there's people milling about, maybe an airport or something.
Yeah.
He's been known to record these things at airports or there was that time that he famously chased Bernie Sanders at an airport.
Sure, he got him.
Yep. It's strange. I guess we're now entering the period where Trump is blackmailed by the globalists.
Yes.
And here's what I would say to that.
Period number five, where Trump is being blackmailed by the globalists, I believe.
If globalist blackmail were effective now, how has it not been in the past? Like, what did the globalists just discover about Trump? this is effective blackmail.
Ooh, that's a good question.
How is this narrative supposed to stick? That's nonsense.
Huh. What could there be that would be just now found out about this man who's been obsessively in the public eye, scrambling his entire life to be in the public eye.
Absolutely.
Forever.
Yep.
We've just now found out at the age of, 79?
Something.
Something
or
70
other. Something.
That he is Hitler? What could be?
I don't know.
You know,
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. It's nonsense to me. The idea of trying to pull off this kind of narrative seems like you are so desperate.
Sure.
Like,
even
Trump can't deny any longer that this is like a pretty serious situation and people should be taking accurate precautions surrounding public health. And Alex can't deal with that because it ruins everything for him.
Yeah, that really fucks things
up. So now either Trump is in bed with the globalists or he's being blackmailed somehow. It's not going to work. This is dumb. But Alex is pissed off. This to me is a strange clip.
Just a week ago, he was doing the right thing, exposing him and, you know, getting into the fraud and getting into the false testing and the rest of it. But now he has reversed that. And it's a scary situation. I don't think Trump's a bad guy. I still support him. But I know our listeners are very, very upset. Our readers are very, very upset. I'm very, very concerned. And so we really have to understand the fact that Trump can't do it all. We're going to have to do it.
So there's a sense of like, hey, Trump was doing good a week ago, but now he's doing the exact wrong thing. I still support him. You know, it's still good, but we're worried.
Hey, we're all in a great place where we cannot question our leaders one way or the other.
And by great place, I mean I'm sitting at a tiki bar waiting for another frozen margarita. That's a good place to be, I suppose.
You know, that's interesting. We talked about, you know, what was it going to take? Mm-hmm. How bad does it have to get for Alex to finally be like, hey, well, I mean, it only makes sense that it would have happened to Trump sooner, like that it would have gotten bad enough for Trump far before it ever got bad enough for Alex.
Wow, that's because there's real stakes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it is that gets bad enough for Alex is it's like, well, now that Trump is even like, hey, guys, this is fucked up. Alex can either double down. Or be like, ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess, that, you know, it's hard to predict any of that stuff. But what I would say is that in terms of that question, like, what will Alex put up with? It turns out he'll put up with being uncertain whether Trump is in bed with the globalists or being blackmailed by them. Apparently, that's fine.
All of his insider information has gone real quick, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, it's hard to get service at that tiki bar that he's at. It's in a pool. He's sitting in
That's fair.
It's a swim up bar.
And he's surrounded by globalists, so he can't talk loud.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's one of the reports. And then there's another report that I found really interesting. Alex makes a little bit of an announcement.
But let me just say this. My daughter, standing out in the woods just the other day, looked at me and she said, Daddy, I don't want to go home and take my nap at 2 o'clock. So it was like 1:30. She said, I want to stay awake because God's world that God built is so beautiful. And those exact words. And she had a little tear in her eye. And she was feeling God's power in the universe. Humans are incredible.
So
yes, we're fallen and decadent because we haven't been given the proper missions by other failed humans. But God's got a mission for us. And it is to people the stars. So I am going to set up the Human Defense Force. Decades ago, setting up a foundation. The image will be a man with a club smashing a robot, but that's too primitive an image.
Great.
We need something that powers humanity and symbolizes us going interplanetary.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
So
yep. Thank you.
Starting the Human Defense League.
Thank you for finally doing what somebody should have done a long time ago.
All right. Look, everything is falling apart all around me. My business is floundering. I'm being sued all over the place.
Right.
So here, I think it's time for me to start a foundation to put people on Mercury.
I am pretty sure that is the right move. Yes. Look, you people think you got to zig. That's when you zag, Dan.
Right.
That's what you do.
The near infinite resources of the United States government and businesses like Tesla have made the progress that they have. But what they've been missing is Alex Jones setting up a foundation
in order to
populate the stars.
Truly. Finally, a 501c3 that we can all get by.
And we're going to just set the world on fire with this iconography of a human hitting a robot with a stick.
That's too offensive for these days, Dan.
No, he said too simplistic.
Okay.
I don't know. My gut tells me, first of all, this is never going to happen.
Doubtful.
This is going to be like Alex's show that's hosted by callers.
Oh, it's going to be
It's coming up. It's right around the corner.
Old Man House Phone is right there.
So I don't think this is going to happen. But on the off chance that it does happen, this also falls in line with my feelings about him hiding assets.
Yeah.
Starting a foundation to people the stars seems like the kind of thing where it's like, okay, this is foundation. That you're not gonna, you, Alex Jones, you don't have it in you to make any progress towards the stated goal.
No,
seems like a place you could hide money.
That's a novel. That's a novel. Novel swing for a divorce court or hiding assets from a lawsuit.
I'd love to give my ex-wife a house, but
I want to.
I can't. I'm too busy trying to get people on Venus.
I gotta get people to Venus. What are you guys doing? Getting in my way?
Oh God. Yeah, you got to keep InfoWars on the air if you want to live in space.
Here's my alimony. Your kid's going to be in space. How about that shit?
Great.
Alimony.
Great. God. So dumb. So dumb. Oh,
I am starting a human defense foundation, Dan.
Yep. You can't even hire a competent second in command. You can't find a second person who's good on air. You think you're going to go to the moon? What the fuck is wrong with
you? Somebody to put the right article on screen.
You fucking storm out of your studio twice a week because of tech glitches. You're gonna kill people if you try to go to space.
Get there halfway up in the air. You know what? Cancel the mission. Cancel the whole mission. Fuck, I don't give a shit. Turn the engines off. Yep. Turn the engines off.
Oh my God. I just got word on Twitter that there's a globalist on my spaceship. Abort. Abort.
Oh boy. Goddamn globalist on a spaceship.
So funny, though. Like, it's so high stakes, the lie. I mean, there are no stakes, but he's pretending to do is
totally
comical. Anybody who think that he's going to... Alex could... Oh, God. Awesome.
Love it.
Love it.
I think he should go the other direction.
What's that?
You know what?
Dig into the Earth?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah, right. He's going too far into space. That's unrealistic. Nobody thinks he's going to make it. We've already got those assholes on it. You know?
I'm going to go find the Morlocks.
Exactly. Go down, man. Nobody else is digging these days. We used to have movies about digging all the time.
I would say that it's a little too on brand for him to create a bunker. and also, that got like really hot in 2012, you know, with the coming of Planet X stuff.
Yeah, and
I think people got exhausted with digging. Mm. I think the doomsday bunker stuff kind of like it came and went. It's not as chic anymore.
Sure.
I don't think Alex feels like it's as exciting.
All right, better pitch for
you. Plus, most of the stuff you're going to find down there is bugs.
Not if you dig underneath the Getty.
Oh,
so what he does, he creates...
teams up with Stephen Kelly.
Exactly. They get a diagonal tunnel. It's like in There Will Be Blood. He drinks the Nazis' milkshake, Dan. That's what he's got to do. He can't just dig straight down. Look, they've already beat him.
Jordan, if you can afford a fucking spaceship,
sure,
you can afford to build one of those bulldozers that they have in cartoons that has like a big drill on the front of it.
Exactly.
I think maybe I'm thinking of something from Ninja Turtles.
It could be Mega Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll fit.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to see what Alex is going to do with this. It sounds like things are about to really heat up. And
join the Human Defense Foundation.
I don't know how you could. Let's just give Alex money, I'm sure.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm not going to join that.
Yeah, fair.
So this report here, where he's announcing, he does not explain more about the Human Defense League, but I'm going to keep a very close eye on this.
Sure.
This is maybe the top story for the rest of my life.
Well, their base was a skull that emerges from a swamp, so I don't know if I want them defending me, if you understand what I'm saying.
I would prefer Alex not defend me. this next clip is from the same report, and it's him trying to tell the globalists that they need to come to Jesus.
Sure.
And I just want to play this like as a really like stark reminder that I make this reminder from time to time, and I think I should probably make it more. Alex deserves to be treated like a religious zealot.
Yeah.
Like he gets way too much of a pass as sort of like a political commentator.
Right.
But in his actual capacity and what he is actually doing at this point, this is cult shit, man. He is definitely running a religious thing.
And the entire book of Revelations, the entire book of Daniel, the entire book of Ezekiel, the entire book of Genesis is all interconnected, and it's all being manifest right now. And the servants of Satan are so fallen,
Peter
they
Gabriel's
believe that they
Genesis?
Can become silicon gods, that somehow they could fix themselves when it's Christ's spirit that can fix them and transcend them. Only by becoming wedded with Christ can we pass over the bridge and be complete. Not by serving Satan in the New World Order. The fruits of the New World Order are pure death and destruction. And everyone knows it. It stinks to high heaven. Every part of it is a lie and a betrayal. So turn back, humanity. Turn back from the New World Order. And I want to encourage those who've been serving evil, for whatever reason, to turn back while there's still time. If you can feel the Holy Spirit, if you can feel a calling, if you can even hear my voice and feel like you want to reach out and want to get out of what you're in, you don't have to reach out to Alex Jones. You got to reach out to God and say, God, show me how powerful you are. Show me how you're the ruler of the universe. I'm weak. I need you to help me. I repent of what I've done. I want to change. And show me. And the second you make that decision, it'll all turn. But it's got to be legitimate. It's got to be real. And you'll know when it's real. Come to Jesus. It's the only way.
This is supposed to be a political show. This is supposed to be a show about, like, banking conspiracies and the Federal Reserve and Posse Comitatus and UN troops and Obama.
It still is. It's just it's all the devil, Dan.
That's not cool.
I do
I
like,
don't get to do that.
I do like.
Can you imagine if there was some sort of a left wing show or like maybe NPR, let's say, and they're talking about like the rise of the Tea Party and talking about like, oh, there's these, you know, there's this grassroots movement, and then you track it and you find like, oh, a lot of this comes from FreedomWorks and a lot of these Coke-related foundations seem to be amplifying a lot of this, and then flash forward a year, and they're like, well, turns out the devil is now... Like, can you... this is ludicrous.
I just want to welcome you back to fresh air. Just a
sure,
reminder,
Terry Gross screaming about the devil.
All of us, please, once again, bend your knee to our Lord and Savior. Hail Satan, everyone. And I just want you to know that we will be sacrificing a goat head, and everybody who doesn't is going to burn. Burn.
Here we are on Fresh Air, making Satanism really boring and chill.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, look, this should be embarrassing. This is embarrassing. And I don't mean this to be at all in any way like insulting of people who are religious or have a faith. Like, that's... You know, that's a wonderful thing, or it can be. And, you know, I respect people's right to believe whatever they want. And if you want to do a religious show, if you want to do a show that's about like, hey, here's me talking about faith and the intersections of ways that it affects my life.
Right.
Interviewing people about their path.
Sure.
I think that's wonderful. I think that's great. Huh. And so I don't want to waste any of my time sitting here like making fun of somebody for doing a religious show.
Right.
I want to make fun of Alex for this.
Yeah. I like that he's on the road. Like, the cult comparison makes sense. This is so much like when a Krishna cult goes bad, you know, one of those things where all of a sudden you see a documentary 20 years later and it's like, the leader, while he was on the run, sent in VHS tapes that everybody shared and watched together. And you're like... That's exactly what Alex sounds like right now. He's on the run.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knows where he is, but he's sending you a missive just to make sure you know he's still alive.
And I want to speak directly to the globalists. repent.
Never find me, bitches.
I don't know. It's a mess.
Yeah.
So we get to the Saturday. Alex is back. I believe he returned on Friday evening. And so Saturday he comes into the studio and he does a special report.
Mm-hmm.
And... So I'm going to go ahead. This is a little bit out of order, but I'm going to play a clip from the sort of middle of the report first, and then we'll start at the beginning.
All right.
Because I think it's important to recognize that there's clearly a point that Alex wanted to make.
Mm-hmm.
And he states, and it's very rare when you listen to him, that there seems to be a thesis statement. And in this clip from about, I don't know, 10 minutes in, this special report, Alex lays out his thesis.
So the big question is President Trump a friend or is President Trump a foe? Is President Trump fighting this or is President Trump going along with it? Well, in this emergency Saturday night transmission, we're going to lay it out right now.
Yeah.
So is Trump good or is Trump bad?
So that seems to be like what he wants to come into studio and really get into.
Right.
So we'll see what he says about that.
I think I can guess.
A lot of the other stuff is extraneous bullshit that is just the same shit over and over.
Yeah.
Fauci created this virus. You got to call it China virus.
Right.
You know, just the same stuff over and over again. And so a lot of it, like, you would expect he's coming back in from a week off, maybe ahead of steam, maybe a lot of like...
finally got his daughter out of the forest.
Sure.
He should be feeling good.
It's not. It's a lot of just a repetition of very similar things, but with the addition of this new thesis question, which is Trump a friend or foe?
Right.
Which I could have answered for him in 2015.
and he answered for himself in 2015.
Yes.
And then got convinced out of.
Yeah.
So he was out of studio for a week, and like I said, I thought he was probably dealing with legal issues. Turns out, nope.
Everywhere I go, I am mobbed by people. I was just in Florida for a week, in Destin, the Panhandle. Great people. And I went into the bayous to swim at springs. I went up and down the Panhandle, and black people, white people, Hispanic people, Asian people, Americans came up to me. But not just Americans, folks from Brazil. And said, we love what you're doing, and we're awake, and we want to take action, and we hate the New World Order. So that's some really positive good news for everybody in this special Saturday emergency transmission we're doing.
It's good news that people like Alex.
All right, is he starting with bright spots now?
I guess he
is. God damn it, this son of a bitch.
What a
stealing
jerk.
Stealing our stuff.
What a jerk.
Left and right.
I would say, first of all, in terms of public health stuff, probably the riskiest trip you could make right now is Texas to Florida.
Yes, that would be the most terrifying
thing. That's not a wise decision right now, but yeah. I guess Alex doesn't believe any of this is real anyway, so what are you going
to
do?
I did a 4-state trip from California to Florida to New
Arizona.
York, right back to Texas. That's where I went.
So when I hear this, and I recognize that a month ago Alex went on another beach vacation to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah.
I see this as more evidence that the end is coming for him.
Yeah.
Because what do you do whenever you recognize that, like, hey, pretty soon I probably won't be able to afford the lavish lifestyle that I live now?
Brewster's Millions!
Let's get in as much of this. Like, let's take some trips while we can. Like, there's going to be hell coming soon. There's a really hectic period or whatever.
Yeah.
Just two vacations within a month is a little much. For Alex Jones in the middle of a fucking pandemic where he claims that he's got the globalists by the balls and proved all their evil.
Well,
you're about 100 days away from a fucking presidential election.
Right.
It just seems like this is not the time to be taking multiple vacations unless there's another reason, and that is you won't be able to go on vacation in the future.
Well, I mean, you know, look, it's so important.
Isn't
you
want to
stay rested. You want to say there's this whole American myth about you always got to work 14-hour days, Dan. Sometimes you need to be rested to really come at the material with a clear mind. He's going to finally explain what's going on.
Now,
that's
look,
what he's going to do in this report.
I got to take 17 hours off a day in order to be good for half an hour. And
oh, man, you're not far off.
Look, dude, I 100% agree with you. I mean, outside of the concrete application of it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I do think that people do need to recharge their batteries and take time off. And I respect that. And that's why I wouldn't be all that like weird about Alex taking a vacation like maybe twice a year or something, you know, like, but once a month is twice a month is a little bit much.
No, as we all know,
it's a little,
Alex
it's
Jones
a lot. It's
supports
a lot.
1 week of paid vacation per month for every one of his employees. It's just a perk.
It's a bit much.
Maybe.
I think he just wanted to be like, oh, Tucker's going on vacation. I got to go on vacation, too. Maybe that's what it was.
Oh, man.
Maybe he's that obsessed with, like, following in Tucker's. Maybe he thought Tucker was going to Florida. So he went and tried, like, I'll meet you in the swamp.
Is Stone still down in Florida? Did he go see Stone?
That's a possibility. Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would make sense. He would at least see Stone once, right?
Mm.
Or, like, knock on Stone's house. Tell him I'm not here. Tell him I'm not here.
Roger.
I gotta say the N-word in front of other people.
Roger, meet me in the swamp.
Yeah.
Meet me in the bayou. Yeah, I mean, I would assume that if he was in Florida, then he probably met up with Roger. But, like, still, it's too much vacation. It doesn't make sense. If the New World Order is taking over as we speak and the devil is upon us.
Yeah.
Why are you? The actions don't match up with the presentation that he's making.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens, but it doesn't look great.
No.
So Alex starts off before he gets to his thesis. He's just sort of complaining about stuff. And like he seems mad that Dr. Fauci threw out a first pitch.
Oh,
Fauci threw out the first pitch when he called for canceling Major League Baseball this year. He threw out the first pitch a few days ago and was way off the mound, just like everything he's done.
Got him.
Way off target. But it matter.
Got
they still
him.
Cheered him. You don't see Trump being invited out to throw the first pitch.
Yes, you do.
You don't see Melania Trump on the cover of any magazines.
Yes, you do.
Fauci on the cover of fashion magazines. because he is a little stunted demonic dwarf that works for the globalist, shutting down our economy and destroying this nation.
So to translate that, kind of wah. You know?
Yeah, I'm going to go with wah.
Fauci threw out a pitch. I didn't like it. Yeah. Why don't I have Trump throw a pitch?
He will. It's on the schedule, actually.
Is
it's
that right?
Scheduled. Yeah.
I know that I saw some articles about that, but yeah. Like, wasn't this the same thing that happened like last year? Like, he said he was going to throw out a pitch and then he didn't or something? How did this work out?
This is going to be a big old show. It's going to be in New York, I think. It's the Yankees home opener or whatever it is.
This falls squarely under the headline of I don't care. Yeah. It seems 100%. To me such a trivial thing whether or not Trump throws a first pitch or Fauci's pitch was good enough for... I don't care.
It wasn't a great pitch.
No, I don't. Who cares?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
No, of course I don't care.
I just don't care.
No.
And Alex is pretty mad about it.
Yeah.
So he gets to his thesis now at this point, and he plays a clip of Trump being interviewed, and Trump talks about how, like, hey, you know, masks are fine, and, you know, there's a situation where we might have a while that we're still dealing with this.
Sure.
And Alex decides to fact check this, and this isn't a fact check.
So there you go. Trump is fact-checked. You're wrong. It never ends, Trump. Doesn't last 2 years. Stop covering up, Trump! You orange orangutan! Stop working for the New World Order, you white devil! I'm starting to think you are a white devil, actually. Working with the black devil, the head of WHO, to carry this out. But listen, getting serious here. Trump's pulled us out of the WHO knowing they're running a scam. Trump stood up to communist China. Trump has done pro-life marches when no other Republican ever did it at that level. Trump's the real deal.
So within like 30 seconds, he's yelling about how Trump's an orange orangutan who's working for the New World Order.
Yep.
And also, hey, look, Trump's the real deal.
I think he was being facetious, right? And then he was trying to convince himself not to be facetious. He's like, hey, you white devil. And then he's like, maybe you are a white devil working with, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, look, I think that what's going on is that Alex feels ignored. And the narratives that he wants Trump to push, which he felt like Trump was optically going along with up till this point, are now no longer the case.
Right.
Trump is supporting things that are the bare minimum. Basically,
of
taking a public health situation seriously. And that doesn't work for Alex. That contradicts what he wants. And so now it's just the carrot versus the stick. I think that Alex is just doing this as a performance because he thinks somehow Trump will respond to tough talk.
Yeah.
I think that's all that's going on. And also, like, it's not a fact check whenever you're like, I can tell you what's going to happen in the future.
No, it's fact checking.
No, fact checking is checking facts. You're just saying, hey, my prediction is different. That's not fact checking.
I'm checking facts.
No, it's not fact checking.
No, it's fact checking.
It's not.
Okay.
It's something separate.
Predictions.
Yes. Prediction disagreements. Not as catchy.
No, different.
So when I say that I think that Alex is just using some tough talk, I mean, that's he even says as much.
Yeah, like, we've been here before.
Yeah.
When he was starting to get out of the UN, starting to expose their whole operation, that was great. Now he's suddenly talking about the vaccine being good, and he's suddenly talking about wearing masks. He's trying to have both sides for politics. Here's the problem. They're going to blame Trump regardless. They're already calling it Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi are already calling it the Trump virus. So by him now legitimizing the hoax, that's only legitimizing their attack, saying the virus is now the Trump virus. And so if Trump won't listen to people being nice to him, well, I'll be mean to him. Just like Tucker Carlson has said on record and personally to me, Trump doesn't take people being nice to him. He takes people being very, very serious with him.
So, I mean, that's all this is. Alex feels like an ignored child and he's lashing out.
Yeah. Yeah, I will throw a tantrum and get what I want.
Because
normally when I throw a tantrum, it seems to work with
people around him.
Yeah,
I would say that I don't understand this, because if what Alex is saying is true, that Trump responds to tough talk and not people being nice to him, then why for years has Alex been crying about how much he loves Trump?
Don't notice that.
It seems like that would be like not effective back then when that was most of what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And in terms of the scale of things, like, this is way beneath Trump shoves ISIS up our dirty assholes.
Yeah.
That night of crying drunkenly about Trump bombing Syria.
Still great.
Yeah, that's the high water mark.
Yeah,
this is still well below this. And it's just sad. It's just very sad.
He just doesn't entertain the thought for a second that maybe, just maybe, we got this one wrong.
Mm.
Just not for one second is he like, oh, if even Trump is doing this, like, there's got to be a better angle on it than just, like, I think Trump is...
blackmailed.
Yeah, but even then, Trump is such a weak dude to be blackmailed that easily about something that's a hoax This is the globalist takeover, Dan.
Uh-huh.
And Trump hasn't been blackmailed up until this point, and now, at the most important point, they just blackmail him real quick.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you also have to recognize, like, what could that blackmail be? Like, if Alex is going to try and push this narrative, like, it's got to be, like, he killed a guy or something.
Sure.
You know, like, right?
Nah, that'd be fine. He could work his way through that one.
Yeah, it'd have to be worse than that.
They must have stolen holding something ransom. Now, there's your angle.
What?
They have kidnapped...
He doesn't care about his family?
No. His secret family.
Oh.
See, there we go.
Okay.
Or they've stolen his penis. Why not? Let's just have something.
All right.
It's got to be something.
Yeah. So Alex gets into, like, you know, the thesis is, like I said, is Trump friend or foe?
Sure.
We've had Alex yelling about how he works for the New World Order, but he's also the real deal.
Sure.
Trump is going along with this scam and is evil or doing this evil stuff that the New World Order wants him to, but he'll respond to me being mean to him in tough talk.
Trump is having it both ways, while at the same time, I am going to have it both ways.
Uh-huh. And this puts things in a very difficult position for the election, quite frankly, because, like, okay, you abandoned Trump. Now what? Biden?
Vote for the guy who's being blackmailed, Dan.
You already have said that if Biden wins, the devil is going to take
sure.
over the earth.
Right.
Like, you can't possibly have a credible argument for voting third party.
Mm.
Like, what are you going to do?
That'll be tough.
Yeah, Alex has backed himself into a terrible corner, which makes it empty when he says things like this.
Call the fraud out. Don't have half measures. God said in the Bible. You were neither hot nor cold. I spit you out of my mouth. We don't need lukewarm monkey vomit here. We need reality. Fauci goes or you go. The Rockefeller Combine run by Gates goes or you go. No more half measures with these people.
So, I mean, Alex is laying this out like, hey, Trump, you take out all these people I've declared enemies or you're out.
Right.
We all know how this is going to go. Nothing's going to happen. And Alex isn't going to leave Trump.
Yeah.
He's going to make some sort of a fucking mealy mouthed argument about why, hey, actually, it's not Trump's
fault.
We've played this game 1,000 times.
God.
It's just so it's sad. He's lost. Lost a creative, like something creative.
Yeah. He's going to have to make the lesser of two evils argument.
He's going to.
And that's going to be the saddest day in history for everyone.
Well, here's the thing. He'll have to do that if he keeps going down this road.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to keep going down this road.
Pitch. Just scream Ron Paul for 3 hours.
I mean, that's what he should have done in 2015.
Yeah. Could have worked.
Yeah.
Just try screaming real loud. Yeah.
The one lesson, I think the cautionary tale for future scam artists that Alex Jones really fully embodies is, like, never stop supporting your dead-end candidates.
Yeah.
Never stop. If you are some sort of a scam person in the, like, far political fringe, and you've built up this whole cottage industry surrounding not trusting anyone in the establishment and everybody is evil except for X, never stray.
Mm-mm.
Keep on the Rand Paul tip. By the way, day 7.
Still no debate with Rand Paul.
Rand Paul's a coward.
Reached out to
Hashtag
me. Rand Paul is a coward.
Will not debate Jordan.
Will not debate me.
Yeah, I just think that it's, Alex, almost all the problems in his life could probably have been averted if he would have just stayed with Rand and Ron Paul.
Yeah. Do you know, I think what's strange is we will ultimately have created at the end of this, at the end of our examination of Alex Jones, not the end of our show.
Uh-huh.
But I think we will have accidentally created the best manual for a scammer in history. Like, us going through every mistake that Alex has ever made in his career, and even pitching better alternatives,
yeah,
has somehow turned this into a manual for a better grifter.
Yeah, I mean, that is an unfortunate side effect.
We are the whetstone sharpening grifters against us.
I guess, I mean...
Oh boy.
You got to take the good with the bad, I suppose. And if someone wants to use this podcast for evil, can't really stop them. No. Although I will say that I think that their techniques will be very transparent.
Yeah.
For anybody who's listened to our show. Anyway, when Alex says Fauci goes or you go, that kind of stuff. Like I said, it's empty. It's a meaningless sort of threat. It's a baby throwing a tantrum.
Yeah, and if he goes, it's not like Fauci then will go. It's not like you're going to replace Trump with somebody who's going to get rid of Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to keep...
You're
going to
get Biden in.
Yeah. Who is also going to keep Fauci.
Right.
So there's no it's you or them. That's a false even concept.
Unless Fauci retires. I mean, he's been in that position for like 40-something years.
Sure.
You know, he's not...
And that's just the past few months.
Yeah. I mean, he's... I don't actually know how old he is, but I don't know when people retire either.
Yeah,
so
that's a fair point.
I don't know. Conceivably, I could see him retiring at some point. But look, this is just stupid. My point is that this dichotomy of you go or Fauci goes is empty. It's meaningless. It's just a tantrum. And it doesn't even continue more than 5 minutes on this episode because
we have to ask ourselves, is President Trump a good guy or a bad guy? He's a good guy. But he's got a bunch of cowardly advisors around him telling him Americans are cowards and they want to wear masks and they want to believe in COVID. So if you come out and say that, every real death that happens, they will blame on you.
There's no development. It's the same thing as ever. Like, Trump is good. He is hero. He is king dad.
Right.
But everyone around him is bad.
Sure. Yeah. He still hired everybody around him. And then he's fired a bunch of them and hired other people to replace them. So not only has he hired cowards the first time, he's hired more cowards multiple times to fill the same positions.
Have you?
You can't get one non-coward?
Have you considered
what?
Obama.
Ooh, what if he hired Obama to be his campaign manager?
No, I mean Obama.
Oh.
He hired some people.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, it is a problem.
Yeah.
But this is I don't know.
I mean, maybe that's even like all the things that we talk about that make him unfit for the presidency. Ultimately, the presidency is going to be like synthesizing information brought to you from all of these different things, along with a huge number of advisors trying to chart out the best path. It's a group effort,
sure,
right?
It should be.
So the ability to hire people and listen to them seems like the most important thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's admin work, and that's why it's called an administration.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably not why, but the words are
something
similar
along those lines.
Yeah, you're an executive. You should delegate and be able to hire competent people and have good instincts on that front. And it's clear that Trump fucking doesn't.
Nope.
Even by Alex's own metrics and standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just weary. I'm weary of this stupid excuse of everyone around him is a coward and bad.
Because
like if someone were trying to have like an actual conversation about the pros and cons of the Obama administration and they wanted to talk about like the good, the bad, all of it, and someone was like, Obama's a great guy, he just hired and surrounded himself with cowards.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's the weakest excuse for anything. Like, you can't use that as some kind of like an actual defense of like obviously, there are people who do things outside of your control whenever that's how systems work.
Sure.
But
he hired Tim Geithner on purpose.
Right.
To do what he did.
Yeah. It's an empty excuse no matter who uses it.
Yeah.
Whether it's someone on the left or someone on the right. And it's just pathetic. Like it's an indication that Alex can't handle some of even just like the basic topics that he tries to cover. So from here, Alex launches off into nonsense, and it doesn't really matter. He complains about Fauci and the virus and what have you, but it's all just the same stuff we've heard over and over again. And so I wanted to just pick out some of the stuff that's kind of newish. And Alex discusses his conception of what he wants to happen in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, he wants to empower the developing world in order for them to rise up, because he believes that that will have an equal effect on rising up the developed world, the first world. And this is silly.
They don't want the third world to aspire to a first world system, a pro-human future. I want to empower the first world. I want to empower the third world. And this entire globalist system that's been set up is about destroying those ladders up for the third world into the first world. Because if we really empower the third world, well, the first world is going to go off-world.
Okay. So
we're moving everybody up one. We're moving everybody up one world. Third world, second world. Uh-huh. Second world, first world. First world, off world.
Yeah.
I like it. That's a type one civilization right there, Dan.
Uh-huh. So in Alex's idea, I guess, what he thinks is, you know, we'll support the developing world so they can rise up to first world, developed world status.
Sure.
And then we'll leave them behind.
Yes. A rising tide lifts all boats, and the ones who are the highest up just go off.
Yeah. I don't think that that's a good model.
I want to empower the third world
by leaving.
So we can leave them. God, what is that?
I mean, isn't that what like kind of Elysium is?
Yeah,
is that,
right.
The movie where the elites end up living on
off
planet thing while the planet itself dies.
Listen, I still want them to be laborers. Don't get me wrong here.
I don't see how this works in any like real world application or how. I don't feel like it's a good path forward.
We're going to need to see the paperwork on the Human Defense Foundation before we can really decide.
Now, I do agree with Alex that we should empower the developing world.
Yes.
And help. So good on that. Now, I think we have different versions of what that means.
Yeah.
But just from a word standpoint.
And we'll all go to the stars.
Right.
Or like,
no.
I'm enforcing the class system 100%.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
And because we know Alex, he's talking about the West. And we know that that means white people.
Yes.
Alex believes white people need to go to space.
We may be able to find some agreement in that maybe the best place for white people is off the planet.
He doesn't want like China to go to space.
They're doing a great job.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, boy.
Anyway. So Alex is talking about the globalists. They don't want the developing world to, aspire to developed world status or something. They also don't want independent movie studios existing.
Sure.
And then Alex just loses the fucking thread.
Okay.
And that's really what the globalists don't want. They don't want big, huge free countries and amazing free corporations and ideas and all sorts of independent film companies around the world putting out different cultural ideas and humans setting up colonies, and some humans want to go off and fly ships into black holes, and other humans want to go off and go interdimensional, and other humans want to merge with machines, but it's all done according to free will. They don't want that free will.
Okay. So the globalists are worried about people deciding to fly into black holes.
Yeah. We're doing a lot of space stuff today.
Mm-hmm.
Going a little spacey.
Yeah. Alex might have maybe went down to Cape Canaveral while he was down in Florida. Yeah. Might have gone to NASA.
Oh, boy.
Took a tour. I would say that it is my feeling that if people were merging with machines of their own free will, Alex would be screaming about that.
He would not be happy about it.
No. There's no way that that could happen and Alex believe that it's free will to
totally,
do so.
Totally. Yeah, that's not even, he doesn't even get to complain about that. He doesn't even think that's possible.
No. His idea of a utopia seems to be independent film studios all over the place. Some people living in space. People choosing to fly into black holes.
Why not? Spaghettification sounds fun.
God, we got to invest in this Human Defense League.
You know what? Of all the wacky futures we could have, I assume there were worse.
I'm Alex Jones. I am going to fly into a black hole so the Sandy Hook people can't take my money. My only, the only way to defend my assets.
That might be the truth. That might be the truth.
Fly this X-Wing into a black hole.
What am I going to do?
I have hired Elon Musk to build me an X-Wing. He's moving to Texas. He's going to build it in my backyard.
I've created an Einstein-Rosen bridge that I will use to first travel to Florida. It's beautiful out there.
You wonder why these people are talking about coming to Texas. It is because Elon Musk is building me an X-Wing, and Joe Rogan is going to captain the X-Wing. Because I will be too drunk the whole time. I can't fly.
You're not going into a black hole sober.
No, certainly not. Me and Joe Rogan will record a podcast as we go into a black hole. It will be the highest rated podcast of all time.
That's because it will never end.
Eddie Bravo will be guesting from Earth along with Tim Pool.
We will be existing in the singularity until the end of time.
This is for the betterment of humanity.
Yep. Yep, that sounds right.
So Alex has one last clip here. It's not a very long special report. A lot of special reports inside the special report.
Sure.
Much like the box not in a box.
Focused.
Yeah. So he has this is the last clip that I have, and it's Alex taking issue with Joe Biden, which is fine. Apparently, Charlemagne the God, the radio host, has made some comments. And it's interesting because I have a critique of what Joe Biden said, that Charlemagne the God is critiquing.
Okay.
And I think that Alex has a separate one.
All right.
And I
can't wait to add a take.
Joe Biden has come out and said, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. Charlemagne, big talk show host, Charlemagne the God, said that's BS. Well, now he's come out and said that God tells Joe Biden to shut the F up over first racist president remark. So Charlemagne the God tells Joe Biden to shove the F up over first racist president remark, saying that President Trump is the first racist president in U.S. history. That's obviously an insult. It's obviously not true. It's obviously a fraud. And anyone who buys it is in a cult. And this is what Joe Biden's doing.
He doesn't really analyze this any further or like what his complaint is. But like if you actually read Charlemagne's comments, like it's like a bunch of presidents had slaves.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous thing to say he's the first racist president. And that would be my same critique, would be like, no, there have been plenty of racist presidents in our history. Okay. Alex doesn't seem like that would be his angle. It seems like he's more invested in Trump isn't racist.
Yeah.
That seems to be his rebuttal, but since he doesn't really get into it, I don't know what he's taking issue with, but it can't possibly be that like, no. Most of the presidents.
I doubt he's going to be like, now, obviously, Woodrow Wilson famously hosted several viewings of Birth of the Nation. And
I don't know. He doesn't like Wilson much.
Yeah. Well, see, go with that.
Yeah, he might.
Go with that. I mean, hey, you could even be like, well, Trump isn't as racist as Wilson. And you'd probably be right.
Well, Alex is invested in the argument that there isn't a racist past in America and the roots of our country don't have overwhelming racist features to them. You know?
Sure.
So Alex coming at this Biden comment from the perspective of look at Wilson, let's say. That doesn't work for him because then it opens up a larger conversation of, hey, isn't it weird that a bunch of our presidents have been like big old racists?
Yeah, no, I mean,
that hurts his ability to be like, hey, America's great. Now, granted, we haven't been the best all the time.
Sure.
It erodes away at that facade.
Right.
That veneer that he's able to put up. So I think from everything I can tell, his response would be Trump isn't racist. That's why this comment is stupid.
Right.
Because the alternative, the critique that you and I would have, or Charlemagne has,
or any right-thinking person,
right, that's too threatening to the image that Alex has.
There's the obvious way to go here, and if he doesn't do it, if he doesn't follow along, like if he follows this thread and he doesn't go the obvious route, I'm going to be very annoyed, and also that's exactly what I expect. But the obvious thing to say is Obama was our first racist president. That's the way he has to go, right? See, Obama's our first racist president. That's the way you do it. All narratives flow from there.
I've definitely heard some right wing people say that.
Totally.
Yeah, I don't know. Alex doesn't he doesn't unpack this in any way that I find meaningful or actual. Like I don't say more about it. And I think that's fun whenever like people can come at a comment from disapproving positions, but be completely in disagreement. that's really interesting.
To me. The enemy of my enemy is not my friend. Yeah,
the enemy of my enemy is. What are you talking about? The fuck is wrong with you?
The enemy of my enemy is trying to get off world right now.
Yeah. So this episode's a bit shorter here, and part of the reason is because this is like a short report, and a lot of it is, like I have said, it's very repetitious. But Alex has been out of studio for a week, and it's important to me to check in on when he comes back.
Yeah.
And this is when he comes back, and
this is what we got.
He's fumbling. He's fumbling hard, and I think it's a disaster. I think it's lame. I think it's indicative of more trouble ahead.
Yeah.
I don't think he has anywhere to go. Mm-mm. Like, what? Trump endorses a vaccine. If it gets, like, let's say,
yeah,
fantasy world scenario, a vaccine becomes available in October,
right,
let's say.
Right, right.
Trump endorses it. What does Alex do?
I don't know.
Bail?
Lights himself on fire like a Vietnamese monk?
Does he bail on Trump month before the election, throw his support behind Biden, who he said is going to unleash the literal Christian devil? I don't see how he could do that.
That'd be fun, though.
Go like support Trump or say nobody should win? Mm-hmm. Functionally, that's supporting Biden. Like, what do you... He's got nothing.
Okay, so here's what I would do.
He's got nothing.
I would go full sarcastic. Zero positive coverage of Trump. Zero coverage of Trump at all. Only say things about Biden as if you are supporting Biden.
Satire.
But like satirically, you know, like, I love the way Biden, and then just do it to piss off the libs by pointing out all the shit that Biden does that you actually do agree with. Like, be like, I think we should vote for Biden because he always loves to keep his First Amendment and Delaware and all my money and slight, you know, that whole thing.
I have two slight different plans. That's not a terrible plan, but here are the two that I would go with. One, hey, Alex Jones here, starting a political action committee to convince Hillary to run third party. So we have something to distract everybody from.
Something to talk about. Yeah, we all want fun.
That's real comfortable stuff for me, and this is not... This is... What's happening right now is not working for me at all.
No.
And nope. I don't have anywhere to go. And I really would like to yell about Hillary, so please run third party.
So easy. Love it.
Hillary, Michelle Obama ticket. I will yell about it. Everybody will have a good time.
It'll be great.
Or, second option, we're going to space. Fuck electoral politics, because I'm starting a foundation to go to the moon.
I don't even go full that direction. Like, not even look. The country nationalism is all over. Uh-huh. There are no countries. There's only one country left: the moon.
Hey, look, InfoWars has been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
we've started by talking about the Federal Reserve,
sure,
the globalists. I've pretended to have read a book by Carol Quigley for about 20 years, and I have not read it. I don't know what I'm talking
about. Made it through about 800 pages.
Hey, look, I just heard W. Cleon Skousen talk about it once, and I pretended I read it. No big deal. I founded a career on it. Look, we've had a lot of fun.
It's been great.
A lot of yelling about Clinton, and then Obama, and then 9/11, and... Hey,
Clinton again.
Look, this is a space cult now.
Now that's an ad pivot right there.
I don't know how to tell you this, but there is nothing left for me in the world of politics. I have clearly been transitioning into being a cult leader, and now we need to go
to do it.
Space.
Time to do it. Get your sneakers, get your punch. Let's do this, baby.
That's the only other option, I think.
Yeah.
And good luck with the foundation.
I hope they discover a new comet soon. You know, like in the next month or two, if they discover a new comet, that's going to be great.
I hope they don't, because we've seen how dangerous that can be and how destructive it is. And I do not wish that upon people who have been sucked into Alex's bullshit.
Yeah.
I apologize if this is a little bit disappointing. We'll see what happens when Alex gets back into studio proper, because, you know, it's always a crapshoot whenever he does these special reports and these like these emergency Saturday episodes, because sometimes he can come in with a head of steam, and he can, like, really wow you.
Totally.
Can knock your socks off. And then sometimes he comes in, and he's not even trying. And I don't think that this was even really trying. I think that he knew that he had to give some kind of a front-facing, I don't approve of this, Trump. I'm going to talk to you like a baby who's mad and shaking my finger. Yeah. And I think that he just did that to do it. And we'll see if it carries over into his actual show that people watch. Because no one's watching this shit.
No.
This is very perfunctory. Yes. Everything about this seems just
that's
like,
the right word.
You expect it, I expect it, we're just going to do it, and it'll be done. We'll all move on with our lives. Mm. This just needs to happen.
Now, if Trump doesn't continue talking about people wearing masks, Alex can pretend that his tough talk worked.
Did it.
If he doesn't, or if he does keep talking about masks, then I guess he can...
Blackmailed, globalist, he sure. heard what I'm saying, but he's playing three-dimensional chess by... listening to me in private, and then he's kowtowing, but eventually, when the vaccine comes, it'll only kill our enemies.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Get the vaccine.
Yep. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but yeah. This is the launch report. Of a space cult. We'll see you next time, but until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight, and @GoToBedJordan.
Yep, we're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. Download the show. And if you could, please find a local charity in your area or a bail fund to help people out doing God's work.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the... what do you call it? I'm the chair of the Human Defense League. What do you call the person who's in charge of a foundation?
I like chairman.
Sure. I'm the chairman of the Human Defense League.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.